This is the Gopher Puck Live Podcast, episode number one, recorded on September 19th, 2011. Hello, and welcome to the very first GPL podcast. I'm your host, Craig Kotner, but most of you probably know me as Jupiter on Gopher Puck Live. Along for the ride are two co-hosts that many of you may know. First off, Ryan Cardinal. Ryan has been a writer here at GPL for, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years, something like that. I'm not really sure. During the hockey season, you can hear him weekly on the Paul Allen Show on KFAN Radio. You can also follow him at Ryan Cardinal on Twitter. How you doing, Ryan?
I am good. Yourself?
Not too bad. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Also joining us is Scott Hamilton. In the college hockey community, he's probably more well-known by his screen name, Hammy. Besides his great insight on GPL message board, you can also follow him on Twitter at HammyHockey. Thanks for being part of the show, Hammy. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Well, here we are, our very first podcast, and I think the first direction we should go is all this Gopher off-season news. We've got Mike Gensel back, John Hill is gone. We got a lot of things going on. What do you guys think? Ryan?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, the as GPL over the last few years would, be a good indication of, John Hill is definitely not an asset to this program or hasn't been. So, you know, getting a guy like Mike Gensel back, I mean, it's probably not going to be, you know, surefire, you know, right away going to be, you know, way better type situation. But at the same time, I mean, it's definitely going to be an improvement. And, I think like most fans have said, you know, it's not so much the X's and O's as much as the, you know, playing with pride and having passion and, you know, the kind of stuff that, you know, Gensel's kind of known for over the years. So if he can instill, if nothing else, if he can kind of inject that into the team from, you know, day one here in a few weeks, I think they'll definitely be headed in the right direction.
Well, I'm kind of glad Hill's gone.
I think a lot of people would agree with that. I think that the big thing is you'll have two assistant coaches that have a lot of passion for the program.
Yeah.
They both played for it. I think that, you know, to a degree that was missing. I mean, obviously Grant's been around the last few years, but, you know, having a guy like Gensel who's been around for so many years and is obviously known to kind of bleed maroon and gold, I think that's going to be very important. And I know that we were talking offline about this, but, you know, there's already kind of a sense of a different attitude with the people around the team. And I think that that's hopefully going to show through in the results this year. So I'm very excited about it.
Well, I think a lot of people are excited. I know the fans are. The people on GPL are pretty crazy about it. I really don't know what else to say. Like you said, it's kind of a different attitude around there right now.
I think the big thing is going to be, you know, for Gensel is how the defense, you know, handles his coaching. I know some of these guys, ironically enough, were recruited by him, but they've never been coached by him. Like a Nate Schmidt, for instance. I know that Gensel was pretty integral in recruiting him, but he's never had him as a coach. So it'll be interesting to see how these guys handle, you know, his style. And but, you know, obviously Gensel's got a track record of, you know, teaching all Americans and getting guys onto the NHL. So I would only imagine it's going to help a lot of these guys a great deal.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into it a little bit later when we kind of take a look at the team a little closer. But, I mean, you know, there isn't an abundance of, you know, upperclassmen or, you know, they're not bringing back a lot of guys there. I mean, there's one upperclassman with Seth Helgeson and then a lot of potential with some of the younger guys, but a lot of question marks too. So having a coach that can get the most out of that position, especially in a year like this where they figure to be pretty solid up front, obviously solid in goal with Patterson, but they're going to need the defense to hopefully take a step this year and hopefully Gensel can be that guy to get the most out of them.
Yeah, I would agree there. But also in this offseason, we've had a few departures. We've got Aaron Ness, who decided to leave, along with Max Gardner. Now, we know Max didn't get too much ice time this year, and that's pretty much what his beef was. But what are you guys' thoughts?
Well, I mean, the Ness thing, I mean, obviously he hasn't really, you know, didn't live up to the hype, and that was going to be tough for him to do. I mean, everyone saw him in the, you know, state tournament when, you know, Rosso made their big run and, you know, lighting up at the X, and everyone thought he'd be the next, you know, All-American type, the, you know, Goligoski, Vanelli, and, you know, it takes, with a defenseman like that, I mean, you need forwards to bury the puck, and obviously Ness, you know, his shot never got to where it needed to be, but I know a lot of fans are kind of saying good riddance, and, you know, because he didn't live up to that hype, but...
I don't know if I'd agree with that.
See, I'm with you. I mean, at the same time, you know, like, yeah, he didn't, but to have a senior like that who he would have, you know, come back this year, been a fourth-year player to, you know, lead the power play, bring the puck out of their own end, you know, he's solid with it. He definitely improved last year defensively. So, no, he didn't live up to the hype, but I think, you know, the team's definitely going to miss him, at least in the short term, maybe by the second half of the year when some younger guys have had a chance to get a little more playing time and, you know, more time on the power play and things like that, it won't be as noticeable. But I think early on they're definitely going to miss his puck skills for sure.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I think that, you know, maybe I'm a little optimistic as far as a guy like Ben Marshall stepping in. He's going to have, obviously, some growing pains, but I think that he has that similar style, very dynamic with the puck and can distribute it. So hopefully he'll be able to step into that role. Granted, he's not going to have the experience that you know, definitely like to rely on when you get in a WCHA play, but I think it'll be very important for a guy like that to be able to step in and hopefully pick up some of the slack.
Now, do you think Ness would have left if he knew Guentzel was coming back? Did he not get along with Hill? Do we know anything about that?
I'm speculating. I think that it's fair to say that some of the relationships were not the best. I do know, I've also heard that maybe Ness didn't really enjoy Lucia's coaching as well. I don't know if that's 100% true, but I've heard that, and I'm sure it's so hard to know. I think that, you know, of course, there were guys leaving early on defense when Guentzel was around, so it's not as if that was going to be the thing that was going to stop him from leaving. So it's hard to say. He probably would have gone anyways. I mean, he would have been a senior this year, and a lot of teams want to get the guys signed before their senior year, so I think it's fair enough to think like it might not have had a tremendous amount of difference.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, you know, he played 3 years. He was a second round pick. And I mean, it had to be frustrating for a kid like that, where he puts up massive amounts of points every year of his hockey life. And then he gets here and he's kind of spinning his wheels. And obviously it didn't come as easy as everyone thought it would. So, yeah, I mean, maybe if he knew Guentzel was coming back, but I mean, I don't know what another year, you know, would have done big picture development wise. I mean, I don't know if Aaron Ness is ever going to be an NHL player. I mean, I don't think staying another year here would have had any impact on that one way or another. I mean, we'll see what he does in the minors. I mean, he's a small kid, and you go into these AHL rinks, so there's no room to hide in the corners like there is in Mariucci. And, you know, I wish him the best, but it just, I don't know, it doesn't look like the second-round pick is going to kind of justify what, you know, where his career path is kind of ending up. But obviously, hopefully, you know, he does well.
Yeah, Ness is gone. I think it hurts the team. You know, it would have helped to have his leadership. He was, like you said, a fourth-year guy. Maybe not the best player, but it's going to hurt not having a senior back there, don't you think? Do we have a senior? I don't think
we do. No, we don't. Helgason is the oldest defenseman, at least by eligibility standards go. So, I mean, it would have hurt. It wouldn't hurt to have a guy like Ness around, of course, but I mean, he did have his flaws. Certainly defensively, he improved last year, as Ryan had talked about, but he still had issues giving up the puck. And of course, he's never been a guy that's going to be all that physical. So I think that it can go both ways. It'll be interesting to see how he does on the next level, but it's hard to say.
Well, then we've got Max Gardner, who was not happy with his playing time, but I can't say that he really deserved the play time that he got last year.
Well, I mean, that's a kid, and you've seen this with the Gophers for several years now, where it's kind of the domino effect, where he should not have been here last year, but between, you know, them always, you know, being a guy or two down for midseason departures, or after the season, the always having that one unexpected one, it's tough to get out of that cycle. And with him being, I think, well, he's a third-round pick by St. Louis, so, you know, for a third-round pick to go back to the USHL, or not go back, but actually to play a full season there when he's ready to step into the college level. So between those two things, you know, he was forced here. He probably shouldn't have been, and you know, his production and, you know, amount of ice time he got kind of dictated that. So now he's back where he should have been, playing a year in the USHL, and you know, he'll probably do very well there and step into college a year from now and, you know, be, you know, a couple years older, thicker, wiser, you know, all those types of things, and probably be a pretty good college player. But he was just in over his head last year physically and, you know, in every other way as well.
Going to the Sioux, isn't he? That's kind of the joke recently.
Yeah, that's the thing that I found ironic, is that I guess I'm a little more skeptical about his future than Ryan is. I'll be very curious to see how he does this year in the USHL. I think Dubuque has his rights and he's playing there. When I read that article, I think it was Western Michigan, he was visiting there or whatever he was going to be, and they also mentioned North Dakota. I found that very interesting because Max definitely looked like a fish out of water last year. And the biggest knock on him has always been, you know, can he skate and well enough? He's certainly a hard worker from what I've been told. And, you know, he'll throw his body around and do some of the dirty work, which, you know, depending on the role that you're trying to fill on a team, you know, maybe it's not so bad. But as far as a guy that's going to be delivering a lot of offense, and I just question whether or not that's ever going to happen. So it'll be interesting.
Definitely will be. We'll have to see. Well, any other talk about departures? Any other significant? There's nothing really else going on. It's kind of a quiet year. It's kind of nice that it's been a little quiet. And, you know, Bukestead stayed, and a few other guys that questionably could have left stayed.
I wasn't surprised by any of the guys.
Really?
The lack of it this year. I mean, I had heard from pretty much the get-go that Bukestad will be back. Of course, you can never rely on that. You never know what an NHL team's going to say in the middle of summer. But I'm not surprised that there weren't further departures. I think that there was a little bit more stability as far as guys being a little more patient. And I think that that's going to be something that obviously pays dividends this year. And we'll see what happens, and I'm sure there'll be more than a few next year. Guys like Bukestad will likely be gone, so we'll find out.
I wish we could keep a big guy like that forever. Well, a few other changes in the offseason. Looks like we got Glenn Sonmore retiring with the broadcast. It's moving from WCCO over to 1500. And Frank Mazzocco is coming on as color guy, which I remember him stating earlier this year that he never saw that happening, but there it is. He's on with the color, and then you've got Pat Micheletti also being part of the broadcast as well. Any thoughts on that?
Go ahead, Ryan.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, I don't listen to a lot of the, you know, radio broadcasts all that often, but obviously to lose, you know, Sonmore, a guy who's been with the program forever, and, you know, hopefully his health continues to be okay, and, you know, it'll definitely be a change. But I think moving to, you know, kind of the bigger picture is not so much is who's doing it, but where they are, and hopefully with being on 1500, it'll be a little bit more stable in terms of where I can listen to the game and online options. You know, some podcasts, like I know the Lucia show used to be quote unquote podcasted on WCCO, but their website's a joke. So
exactly. It was terrible.
I mean, it was unreliable. You had to listen to it, and some nights it was on only online, or if it was on another random station, one of CCO's affiliates. So I guess I don't care as much who's doing it. It's just the access and hopefully the stability of, you know, being able to listen to the audio on demand and finding it online and streaming and all those good things, which, you know, 1500 should bring to the table, at least, you know, better than what CCO offered the last several years.
I think that's a big deal. You know, you'll be able to bring up your ESPN app, your ESPN KSTP 1500 app, and listen to the hockey games for free. You'll be able to go on to gophersports.com and listen to the games for free. That's something that we haven't had here in years, and I think the fans are going to be pretty happy about that.
I'll be interested in seeing how Mazzacco translates into a different role. I'm glad that he's back. I've always felt that, you know, you see these comments from fans of other programs who are always ripping on guys for being homers and whatever. And I guess I never really saw that in Mazzacco. I thought he's always been relatively consistent. And I'm sure, of course, he'll get excited when Gophers do well. But the reality to me is I've heard a lot worse on the radio than
Come on.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, I won't name names, but there's been plenty of guys out there that I think are a lot worse and a little, you know, much less professional about it. You know, if Mazzacco is biased, he does, I think, a little bit better job of hiding it than some. So,
well, I think it'll be nice for Wally to have another broadcaster in the booth, at least someone who could help him out, read commercials, you know. Glenn just pretty much gave his opinion, and that was pretty much about it. I think it'll be nice for Wally. You know, heck, if Wally gets sick, he doesn't have to worry about calling a game because he knows Frank could fill in for him. So I think having another professional broadcaster in there will help him. Now, like you said about him adjusting to being the color job, I'm not really sure about yet. We'll have to see.
Well, I thought the interesting comment that I read, I think it was from Wally Shaver on Gopher Sports, was that it's a little different for radio than it is for television because you don't have that visual that you kind of have to do a greater job of explaining the visuals of what somebody's going to be seeing as opposed to a radio where maybe you can be a little more basic. So maybe that's, you know, something that'll help Mazzacco, you know, translate the game, you know, to the fans.
What do you think, Ryan?
No, I agree. I mean, you know, there's not quite the, I don't know if you want to call it pressure when it's on TV, but, you know, on the radio, like, you know, Hammy said, you can, you know, paint it a little bit different and, you know, be a little bit more descriptive. And it just doesn't seem as much of a, you know, as tough of a learning experience to do that on the radio as opposed to TV. So, you know, he can definitely, you know, kind of take his time getting into it. And I think, you know, even having Micheletti too, I mean, on Beyond the Pond on KFAN, I mean, he's great on there for, you know, cutting open a vein and being critical when, you know, it's obviously been very warranted in recent times. So kind of mixing him into some broadcast tool, kind of, not that he's similar to Sonmore, but just, you know, have a, you know, be more opinionated and kind of fiery in there and bring a different element. So I like what they're doing. I think it's a good direction.
Well, you being the KFAN guy, does that affect Pat Micheletti being on KFAN when he's doing stuff on ESPN 1500?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, like, I know Nanny is going to be on both, you know, both appearing with, you know, Royce and Mackey and then also still on with Barrero. So
yeah.
I think the bit with 1500 too, is that he's not technically with 1500. He's with Learfield Sports.
True.
So like with that whole thing, how they manage all the youth stuff. So, even if it was 1500, I mean, I guess that might change it a little bit if they were quote unquote officially doing the games, but since it's Learfield and their relationship with the U, I would assume that, you know, Micheletti would stay on Beyond the Pond and then appearing with, you know, PA from time to time to talk NHL as well.
Well, it sounds like the fans are pretty happy that at least Mazzacco is kind of back with Gopher Hockey after being gone for about a year and a half. But I still think they'd rather see him on TV than LaPanta because LaPanta is still not a big fan favorite, at least with the Gopher Hockey fans.
Well, and I think with LaPanta, too, I mean, it's just been the last couple of years where, I mean, I don't know if you have anybody calling the games. I mean, when you're a 500 team and, you know, constantly disappointing and you're not scoring goals. And, you know, he hasn't been put in a position where he's, you know, calling Gopher Hockey from the early to mid-2000s either. So, you know, I, too, would much rather have Mazzacco and Wooger back there calling the games. But, you know, at least hopefully, you know, this is the year where they get back to being a, you know, top-tier team. And it's more fun to watch and you're not going into every Friday and Saturday night on TV kind of with one eye closed saying, you know, hopefully the, you know, it's not going to be that bad this week. You know, hopefully they can get to a point where it's, you know, really exciting and they're, you know, fighting for home ice and, you know, hopefully a top three spot and pairwise, you know, all that good stuff that we were used to for so many years.
Yeah, well, plus Mazzacco's got dignity. He doesn't put on that crappy Sioux jersey for pictures like
Touche.
Well, Mazzacco's been gone for a year and a half and, you know, he's coming back, and there are a ton of changes with college hockey. We've got Big Ten. We've got National College Hockey Conference, and we got a ton of things going on. Let's start with the Big Ten, Ryan. What do you think?
You know, it's one of those things where once, you know, you started hearing the rumors about Penn State and then they made it official, it was only a matter of time. And, a fair amount of, months have gone by now where, it's kind of one of two ways. You can either still be bitter about it. And, the WCHA is a great thing. And, it's been awesome. And, it's a little bit watered down now with, more teams. And you don't get as many home games against, North Dakota and Denver and some of the traditional teams you like to see coming in. But, I'd rather just choose to hopefully embrace it because I don't want to just, give up on college hockey or like it less. I mean, the Big Ten's going to be awesome. And Penn State may not be that great and Ohio State, who knows, but there's still a lot of great teams in that. And same with the NCHC. I mean, that's on ice right now. You can make a case that that's better than what the Big Ten has to offer. Now, certainly big picture wise, financially, fan bases, all that stuff, the Big Ten's always going to have the edge, but it's unfortunate, but at the same time, I think you have to embrace the change just because, I'm a fan of the sport and I'm not going to love it any less. I mean, road trips and things like that will definitely take hits. And, I think that's the fans get hurt there, but hopefully there'll be more of a kickback with, better, coverage and more games on TV. Hopefully. I mean, that's what they've been selling. So hopefully that, that pans out here in a few years when things get off and running.
I'm very excited about it. I think that it's interesting reading some of the comments on GPL over the last few months about people being upset about the changes. I think some of these, you can tell some of the younger fans from some of the older fans because they tend to overlook the fact that, Michigan was a huge rivalry for Gopher hockey. And
I still love the Michigan rivalry. And it's one of my favorites.
And I think that the other thing is that people tend to focus on is, they look at the short term and say, well, the rivalries aren't the same and this is not the same as it is in the WCHA. And that's true. But our rivalry with the North Dakota didn't happen overnight. You know, a lot of these rivals that we have now, they're not something that just developed in a year's time or whatever. They happened over a long period of time. And so, yes, it might not be the same right away, but you have to give it time to develop. And I think that eventually that's going to happen. And I really believe that the Big Ten angle, will certainly be very positive. I mean, I don't know how the television aspect's going to work out, how many games or how they're going to handle all that, but I think that that'll certainly be a positive. And I believe that, Penn State didn't throw all that money, to come in here and lose. I mean, they want to win, and I think that they're throwing a lot of money, and they're going to certainly work hard at becoming one of those elite teams. And I think that, when you have Big Ten programs that have Big Ten budgets – at some point, they're probably going to want to invest more and more. And will that lead to success all across the board? That's questionable, but I think that certainly there's a lot to build on there. And I, the National College Hockey Conference, it'll be interesting. Right now, the wild card is Notre Dame and what their future is going to be. I mean, they've been dragging their heels all summer, and I think we're kind of seeing why right now. It really has to do more with their football program and its future. Wherever they're going to be, whether it's going to be in a conference or not. And so I've been saying this elsewhere. If the National College Hockey Conference doesn't get Notre Dame, I feel that it's a significant blow to what they were trying to accomplish, because it was pretty clear in the beginning that they had this grand idea of having a national conference with your Boston schools and so on and so forth, and not just Western schools with some Eastern schools. And I think that they obviously didn't achieve that aspect. And then, they added, UMD wasn't really going to, from what I understand, wasn't going to be added to the mix until they failed on some other teams. And now you're hearing, St. Cloud's or whoever else may be being asked to join. And you kind of have to say, is this just going to be, WCHA light? I don't know. It'll be interesting. I mean, they're good. Don't get me wrong. Obviously, they're very strong programs right now. But at the same time, they're not all going to stay that way. And then you have the television aspect. None of those programs are really big media markets that are going to gain a lot of attention. So what's the TV deal going to be like? I mean, there's a lot of questions to be answered with that conference right now.
And don't forget the postseason tournament, where the Final Five makes boatloads of money for everybody right now. And there's really no logical spot outside of Grand Forks for their postseason tournament if you want a surefire moneymaker. And I don't think, Gwazdecki and Blasey and everyone else are going to be too eager to head up to Grand Forks for a postseason tournament where there's going to be NCAA berths on the line and all those kinds of things too. So I don't know how they're going to, make a profitable postseason tournament out of it as well, where, there's just not a lot of spots where, hey, we can go here and make a ton of money. That just doesn't doesn't strike me as, you know, too many of those arenas out there.
Wasn't the speculation that UNO could be like a centralized location for that league as far as, you know, a conference final five, so to speak, or whatever it would be, of course, depending on how many teams they have. But that's what I thought the early talk was, that they could have it there. I don't know what the – I mean, I've been to the Quest Center. I think that's where they play, right? I've been there, or at least they used to play there. I know that. I've been there one time. I was there for like a U2 concert years ago. And I mean, it's a nice place, but, you know, it's not much of a town outside of, you know, a few things are in that area. So it's not the same as a St. Paul, certainly.
Baseball is still king in that town.
Oh, yeah, and that's a hell of a drive. I mean, whether you're North Dakota, I mean, we've seen the WCHA. I mean, Denver and CC, those fan bases aren't great. And, yeah, you move it a little bit closer, but I mean, I don't know what that drive is. But from Grand Forks to Omaha, I mean, I know North Dakota fans travel well, and a lot of that's inflated by, you know, you see like Final Five, and so many of those fans live in the Twin Cities. So the whole claim about, oh, they're, you know, the best fan base and everything else, like, yeah, they're good, but, you know, they all don't drive down from Grand Forks for that. So, I mean, that's just, you know, that's a long way for so many of those schools. And, you know, yeah, Omaha's great now and with Blaze. And but, you know, again, this is a long-term thing, like Amy said. And, you know, who knows how long that program is going to be, you know, selling out and having big attendance numbers. So, yeah, like you said, I mean, definitely more questions than answers at this point.
Well, where does that leave the WCHA? I mean, they're trying to pick up as many CCHA schools as they can. But obviously, Final Five money dead, probably location dead. Who knows? I'm not sure on that. But what's going to happen to the WCHA? Is it now a second-rate conference in a couple years?
Well, I think that right now, who do we even know for sure if that's going to be the final participants? I mean, like I said earlier, there've been some rumors about St. Cloud being added. You know, and you don't know if there's going to be a few other teams added, depending upon if they can get Notre Dame in that, you know, NCHC conference. I mean, you know, it's hard to say what it's going to even look like. And certainly it's not going to have the attention or the big players that it is used to. So it'll be interesting to see how they adapt.
Does this kill Mankato? Does it kill Bemidji?
Well, I mean, you've heard, you know, to kind of tie it back in with the Gophers, I mean, I know Lucia was quoted this summer, and I think Maturi as well, about, you know, keeping those rivalries alive. And I know, you know, North Dakota, they've done a great job. I mean, they play Bemidji, you know, home and away pretty much every year, even before they got in the WCHA. So, I mean, I think those schools can still do pretty well so long as, you know, the Minnesotas, North Dakotas, Wisconsins of the world make those commitments to, you know, travel there on a somewhat regular basis. I mean, as a fan who's gone to all these places, I mean, you know, when the Gophers go places, I mean, when they're in North Dakota this year, I think the tickets are like upwards of $60. I mean, they go up like $5 a year up there, and it's not just there. Mankato jacks the prices up, St. Cloud. I mean, that's the way, you know, those programs make a lot more money off when Gophers and the big time programs come. So, you know, yeah, without that, those schools are definitely in trouble, but it seems like everyone is at least saying the right things at this point. But, you know, of course, you know, it's easier to say it than do it. So hopefully when push comes to shove here in a few years and you start, you know, hopefully hearing some scheduling agreements and things like that, that, you know, the Gophers and, you know, North Dakota, the big schools, you know, back up what they're, you know, they've done in the past or what they've recently said about their future intentions.
You have to wonder how much the non-conference scheduling is going to be, you know, a battle between these two different power conferences that have been developed here in the last, you know, handful of months. I mean, is it going to be a situation where, you know, the big money of the Big Ten wins out when it comes to scheduling home games, things of that nature? It's going to be interesting to see how that works out. I don't know, you know, how much. I would imagine that they'll try to have as many home games as they've always had. I mean, they don't want to get, you know, lose that all that money that they make. I mean, the Gopher program has the most profit in the NCAA for hockey. I mean, based on what we've seen in some online statistics. So, you know, how
the
are
money they,
they
make is staggering.
Yeah.
It's,
I mean,
and double what the Sioux make, and the Sioux are number two.
Yeah, exactly. So
they're not going to give up those home games at all.
Well, that neither is Wisconsin. And nope. Yet, you know, so you have to say to yourself, well, some of these teams are going to have to be on the road more than they're used to, or at least that's what you would imagine. And who's going to win out in that battle? Is it going to be the money that you can pay to these teams to travel, or it's hard to say.
I would like to see these new conferences not get too large. Obviously, the WCHA looks like it's going to get huge, but obviously the Big Ten could go up one if Notre Dame comes aboard. National Conference is at what, they're at six right now?
Yep.
I would like these conferences to kind of stay small. I would like to see more non-conference games and not playing conference games all the time. The WCHA with so many teams kind of got a little bogged down the last few years. But, you know, with the Big Ten, we're going to have a lot of non-conference games, whether it's against WCHA or, you know, the Sioux or Denver or whatever it may be.
Yeah, I mean, these teams, too. I mean, obviously the Big Ten right now, I mean, Ohio State's not great. The Gophers, Michigan State, they've been down a little bit. But, I mean, those are traditional programs that will always be up. So, you know, you look at your non-conference schedule, if, you know, especially in the NHCH, where the hell it's called right now, I mean, every week in your conference play, I mean, if you look back this year, I mean, all those teams are NCAA tournament type teams. You can't go out and schedule, you know, big time teams outside of your conference if every week in your conference is just going to be a war. So you're going to need the, I mean, I know fans don't like to see, you know, Sacred Heart coming in, but I mean, the way the, you know, NCAA tournament and the pairwise and everything else shakes out right now, I mean, you need to get some of those wins too to build your resume. So, I mean, you're going to need to schedule Mankato's and, you know, some of the programs that traditionally aren't up there, because you just can't have it be week in and week out against top 10 or 15 type teams. You're just going to wear your own club out.
You're not excited about Sacred Heart?
Oh,
Vermont? Come on.
Vermont's
your team.
Vermont.
Holy Cross. Oh, I said it.
Gosh, you said it. You just had to go there, didn't you?
We can bleep that, right?
No, we're keeping that in.
Okay.
We all know the Sioux fans just love Hammy. They can't get enough.
Just remember that they still sell Holy Cross shirts at stores up there. What was it 7 years ago now? 6 years ago? So, yeah, just keep that in mind.
Well, have you read Sioux Sports? Does that really surprise you?
No, that's a fair point.
Wow. And there it is. There's the challenge right there. So, let's move on to the team. Let's see. What do you guys think is going to happen? We got forwards, defense, goalies. Let's hear what you think about the team this year and the freshmen and where are we going to stand when the season starts next week? Or is it October 2nd against Poor Sisters of Canada or wherever they're playing?
You want to take that one, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was on with PA at the fair a little bit ago, and I, you know, kind of made the not, it shouldn't be a bold prediction with this team, but I think they can be an NCAA tournament team. I mean, one of these years, you know, it's not going to be an underachieving type season. It just stands to reason that when you look at the talent they have, I mean, that they're not going to disappoint year in, year out forever. So, and you look for reasons why it can be good. And I mean, I think you start at the back end with Kent Patterson. I mean, he's as good as any goalie in the WCHA, maybe in the country. And, you know, the only worry a little bit is, you know, what's behind him. I know there's been a little turmoil with the, you know, recruiting front with Gopher goalies. They had the Venue, or however you say it, the Canadian kid. And it seems like he's out of the mix now. And Adam Wilcox, you know, he was maybe penciling to come this year, but now he's back in the USHL, which for long term for him is good. But, you know, behind Patterson, there's not much. And you saw it with Kangas last year where, you know, if they went to had a good backup behind him, you know, this team would have been really in trouble. So, but you have to figure that Patterson's going to, you know, carry the mail pretty much each and every night. And, you know, defense a little bit shaky in front of him. Obviously, we touched on that a little bit. But up front, you know, between getting Zach Budish back, he was off to a great start last year. You bring back, you know, Bukestad and Howla and Condon. So you have some, you know, returning guys up the middle. And that's been something I've harped on forever with this team, where, you know, look at North Dakota last year with, you know, Corbin Knight, Brad Malone. They have big time guys to take faceoffs and strong up the middle. And you look back at Gopher teams that were really good, and, you know, with, I mean, yeah, the Holy Cross here, but that was a really good team. And they had, you know, Kessel, Patalny, Geyer, you know, strong up the middle. And so this year they should have some more guys there. And, you know, some freshmen that, you know, obviously Kyle Rowell is probably going to be the guy that everyone keys on. So, you know, I think big picture, there's no reason to expect this team, you know, not to take a step. And like I said, with PA as well, I mean, you look around the WCHA, there's not a lot of powerhouses. I mean, pretty much every team in the league has question marks, as opposed to, you know, a year like last year where everyone knew North Dakota was going to kick ass from start to finish, be a really good team. So, you know, there's question marks, and the Gophers, I think, have a chance to take a step forward.
You know, to piggyback on that, I think the strength of the team is definitely be, you know, Patterson and goal. And I really do like the forward group, especially with some of the newcomers. I was looking at some of the past rosters, and my personal belief is this is the best group of forwards that we've had since 2005, 2006. I think that was Kessel's year and Patoni and those guys on that team. And You know, they won't match the firepower of that group, but as far as the last handful of years, I think this might be the best group of forwards that we have. Of course, some of them have yet to prove some things, but I think from a talent standpoint, I really like what they have. You know, the defense, I think, is, as Ryan, you know, touched on, is a little bit of the question mark. Hopefully, Gensel's impact will be very positive very quickly. I do like some of the guys on the team. I mean, Ault, and, you know, I think he's going to be, you know, now that he's been able to focus on hockey full time, I think he'll have a real good year. I think Hull will have another good year. I mean, you know, he was solid as far as being a kid who came right in from high school. He had his growing pains, but I think he'll be a lot better. And I, like I talked about earlier, I think Ben Marshall, he's had a successful year in the USHL, and, you know, we'll see how that translates this year, but I think that he'll be very good up back in the back. We'll see with, you know, I want to really see how Nate Schmidt does. I mean, that to me is a big one, because here's a kid who is all rookie in the USHL, and then he comes to the U, and all of a sudden he just sort of gets forgotten. And I don't know what the reasoning might have been. I'm not down at practice, but like I said, Gensel was the guy that recruited him. And you got to hope that maybe that, you know, reconnecting with the guy who recruits you has a positive impact on him.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, up front, you know, the thing that I'm encouraged about, too, is with Rao, where, you know, you were worried last year there was that whole kind of kerfuffle in October where he was going to play high school. And then there was rumors about Lucia wanting him to go to the USHL. And obviously he ended up playing at Eden Prairie. And, you know, he tore it up there like everyone knew he would. But, you know, to have him go to the USHL playoffs, and he was, I think, a point per game guy, and, you know, did really well there. Now, granted, he was on a good team. But, you know, one, you know, you kind of look around the league and, you know, Gophers, obviously up front, they have a lot of talent. But most of the key guys, again, are, you know, freshmen and sophomores. But, you know, it's not unheard of for freshmen to come into this league and do really well. I mean, you see it around the league, and the Gophers haven't had that. You know, Buxa was solid last year, but the first half, I mean, he had mono and went to World Juniors and came back, and he was, you know, obviously really good down the stretch. But to have, you know, a really big impact freshman where, you know, he can be almost a point per game guy, I mean, you do see that. So if, you know, whether it's Rao or Ambrose or, I mean, Travis Boyd, he's a guy who, you know, super talented, and you kind of forget about him because he's been out in Ann Arbor. But, you know, if they can have a couple of these young guys really, you know, take a step, and, you know, like I said earlier with Bugstad and Haula and some of these guys, you know, having a full year under their belt. I mean, the biggest thing with this team is scoring. And, you know, I think my biggest worry is that you look back at the really good Gopher teams and it comes from the blue line, whether it's, you know, Vanelli and Goligoski, or obviously going back to Ballard, Paul Martin. I mean, I don't think they have one of those guys on there now. That being said, those guys are, you know, NHL players aside from Vanelli, and, you know, really good. So I'm not saying they need to have a, you know, top four NHL defenseman on their roster right now to create that. But I just worry that there's not going to be the offense generated from the back end that's going to allow these guys to get up and down the ice and score. And, you know, the power play as well. I mean, it was a little bit better last year than we've seen, but in general, the power play has been atrocious. And, you know, Lucia talks about it too. If they can average another half goal a game with how many, you know, 2-1 and 3-2 games that this team's lost where the power plays failed them. I mean, look at Duluth last year. I mean, yeah, that was an okay team in the regular season and they did really well, but their power play was unbelievable. And, you know, it lit up teams in the postseason, and that can take you a long way. And you don't need to have a top five power play in the country, but you better be top 20 if you're going to, you know, get back to the NCAA tournament.
You know, if you look at their averages, I don't think they've changed a ton in the last few years. The offense has kicked in a little more than the defense has. Like you said, they need somebody to step up on defense. It's just that clear. Whether if it's, you know, Helgeson or somebody, we need offense. We need somebody who can make that pass. We need somebody who can shoot from the point. They just have not had that in years. And without it, I think they're still a middle-of-the-pack team. They must have somebody step up on the blue line and contribute to the offense.
Well, and that, to me, that's the big key when you talk about guys like Marshall and possibly Nate Schmidt. I mean, Nate Schmidt has always had a big cannon, you know, from the point. He's a guy that you could put back there and fire some bullets at the net. And, you know, that's why it was a little bit frustrating last year. I really expected him to have, you know, an impact on the power play unit as far as his ability to shoot the puck and whatever, and that just never developed. And I guess it's open for debate why that might be. I'm not down at practice every day, so I can't say much about that. But
oh, we know you're there every day.
Well, maybe for a day later this week, but not every day. But, you know, and Ben Marshall, he's very dynamic with the puck. And, yeah, you tend to want to avoid putting too much pressure on a first-year guy. But certainly there's a big impact that he could make if he has any kind of similar results from what he had from the USHL.
Yeah, I know fans have talked about this too, and I'm far from a coach, but I think one reason why this team can kind of struggle at times, especially on the power play, is the big ice sheet. And I just think that you see so many times where they, you know, try to make that extra pass, and there's just so much room. And, you know, I think, like Hammy said, with a guy like Nate Schmidt, where maybe he's not, you know, Mr. Finesse, but, you know, he's got a hammer for a shot. And just have guys, you know, get pucks on net, shoot, you know, hard, low, get it on net. And I know, like with Ness, that's the thing where, you know, I liked him as a player, but, you know, he obviously didn't have the shot to get it through, and nobody's going to be afraid to block, you know, his wrist shot from the point. So, you know, I just think that they get a little bit too cute with it, and they overthink because, you know, they all are super talented guys, and they all want to, you know, I'm sure over the last couple of years, guys start gripping their sticks tight and, you know, overthinking and trying to do too much, like I said. So I think that contributes a little bit to it as well. But I mean, you look at the big time teams that WCH has had the last few years, and, you know, Wisconsin's blue line a couple of years ago in North Dakota. I mean, the Gophers are just light years away from that, and you can make up for it in other areas, but I mean, that's still the way to go. And the best teams the Gophers have had have been just loaded on the blue line. And, you know, this team, you know, like we said, they're young on the blue line and there's talent there. And, you know, maybe they can, you know, get off to a great start, and Guentzel, you know, helps them. And they, you know, hopefully having a guy like Patterson behind them in net gives them the confidence to, you know, rush the puck up the ice and make some mistakes and not have to worry about, you know, giving up a 2-on-1 because they have a guy back there that can help them cover it up. But, I mean, yeah, I agree with you, Craig, that if they don't have, you know, a 30-point guy on the blue line or a little bit more even than that, I just don't see, you know, how they're going to take a step in the standings and, you know, they'll be fighting for home ice again like it's been the case for how many years in a row now.
Well, speaking of the standings and where the Gophers will finish, let's hear your predictions on the standings this year. Starting with you, Jaime, what do you think? Where are the Gophers going to finish? How is the league going to look?
Well, you want me to run it down through one through, you know, I mean,
sure,
where do you want me to start?
That sounds good. Let's start with the top.
You put the pressure on me first. All right. I do have Denver at the top spot. I really believe that they have the best, you know, the most talent, of course, based on what they did last year. They lost some guys, but they return a lot of talent. I think the real key factor for them is, you know, their goalie got hurt in the offseason. What is it, Bertain or whatever it is? I can't remember. But anyways, he got hurt, and now they got Adam Murray, who's kind of been – he hasn't really done as well in college as I expected. I know that the Gophers that were actually thinking about – I mean, they were recruiting him, I believe, back when he was still available. And he hasn't really played as well as I expected in college. And so there's kind of that question mark and goal there that, you know, you wonder about. And but I do have them number one. They have a good defensive group as well. I mean, it's pretty solid. You know, Ryan talked about it before as far as, you know, one through five. It's just – it's real crammed in, and maybe even further down. I put CC at number two, maybe a little bit of a surprise. I think Jaden Schwartz, I think he's probably going to be the player of the year. He's probably the most talented guy in the league. I suppose DU fans would, you know, debate that with Zucker, but I think that he probably could be the best player in the league. And, you know, I think similarly with how Denver is, it'll be interesting to me to see how Joe Howe does for CC, because – you know, we know him pretty well here from Wayzata, and I really thought he was going to be a really great college goalie, and, you know, he really hasn't done great. He's been solid, but not to the level that I expected. So, but I have them at number two. I don't know, maybe a little bit by default to a certain degree, because, you know, there isn't a clear-cut guy or a team that you could really say is, you know, that great. So you want me to keep going, or you want me to pass over to Ryan for a few? Or
well, let's keep going. Let's hear what okay. you got.
All right. Well, at number three, I have North Dakota. You know, the thing is they lost a lot of skill up front, a lot of scoring, but I do think that they'll have the best defensive unit in the league. I talked about this with you guys earlier. I'm not entirely sold that Dell is this fantastic goalie. I think that he certainly had a great team in front of him last year that could possess the puck in the other end of the rink, and he had a really good defense in front of him. And, you know, I kind of wonder how he's going to perform when he's tested probably a little more this year, because offensively they're probably not going to have, you know, the puck in the other end of the rink quite as much as they did last year. So I kind of, you know, I'm kind of iffy on putting them at three. I know some places I've seen have them at number one. I just don't feel that they're that good, but we'll have to see. And of course, Grimaldi, and they have some good talent coming in. So, you know, I'm sure they won't be offensively inept, but I put them at three. Maybe a little bit of it's based on past performance and, you know, seeing how they generally do improve as the year goes on. So we'll have to see how that goes. I have the Gophers at four. You know, I think people tend to forget they were fifth place in the league last year, and that was with, you know.
There's a reason they forgot. They didn't make the final five.
Well,
it didn't
that's
matter.
Exactly. I agree. You know, they didn't make the final five, didn't make the NCAA, so I could see why people would tend to overlook that. While we did lose some, you know, solid players like a Fairchild and, you know, some of those types of guys, I do feel that on the whole the team's going to be stronger this year. Patterson is, in my opinion, he's the best goalie in the league. I think that if you look at what he had to kind of deal with for defense in front of him last year, I mean, that's to me why it wasn't really even a debate between whether Patterson or Dell should be first team, because to me, Kent Patterson faced much more difficult circumstances than Dell did. So I really believe Kent, you know, is the backbone of the team. And if he has a similar year as to what he had last year, the team will be in really good shape there. I think with Gensel's impact on defense, and like I said earlier, the forward group, I believe, is, you know, the best we've had in a number of years, at least talent wise. I think that there's a good chance that they'll be four, and who knows, maybe they'll surprise even more than that. But so after that, I have Minnesota Duluth. They did lose some really good players. Acknowledge that, and I don't think that they'll have quite the depth of talent. But when you have guys like Jack Connolly and JT Brown, those guys are pretty potent offensive players. I'm sure that they'll be solid enough defensively and in goal that you know, they'll be in most games. So I think that they'll probably be at number five. At least that's my prediction.
Okay.
I have.
Oh wait, let's hold on. Let's get Ryan's top five.
Okay,
what
sure.
do you think, Ryan?
Hi. Well, as much as I hate to slurp on the Sioux, like I said earlier, there's just so many question marks, and you know, North Dakota, like Hammy touched on. I mean, their back end with, you know, to get guys again. You know, Gopher fans, we always kind of look at this like, how do these other programs get these guys to stay and to have, you know, Blood and McWilliam, both as upperclassmen, and, you know, those guys, you've seen them how many years with, you know, Cepas trying to battle them, or, you know, Gopher guys, and it's just those two guys playing big-time minutes, and, you know, you have a couple of sophomores with Forbert and Simpson. Forbert was really good last year. Simpson didn't play, you know, too many big minutes, but, you know, you got to figure both those guys will be pretty good this year. And, you know, up front, I mean, yeah, they lose a ton, but they still have, you know, Corbin Knight and, you know, Christo, Brock Nelson. They have some freshmen. So, again, if there was more teams in the league with some stability, I would pick them to finish a little bit lower. But, you know, I'll kind of take the angle of, you know, bitter taste in their mouth from how last year ended. And, you know, under Hackstall, I mean, you can say what you want about their postseason, you know, issues, but, you know, they've been a pretty good regular season team. So I've got them pegged at one. Again, it's not going to be by, you know, 8 or 10 points or anything like that, I don't think. Yeah, I have Denver at two. You know, you can make the case they might have the best, you know, forward group in the league with Zucker and the Shore brothers. And, you know, like Hammy said, though, with, you know, the goaltending issue, Adam Murray's been, you know, a guy who is a big-time recruit but hasn't panned out there. And, you know, with Britton probably out for the year, who knows how that's going to go. You know, CC at three. To be able to keep Jaden Schwartz, I mean, I didn't think he'd stick around there for a second year, but, you know, he missed a lot of time after he got hurt at the World Juniors with a foot, I think it was, but his points per game last year was ridiculous, and, you know, their top line is going to be incredibly scary, and, you know, to have Howe in the back end as well to, you know, kind of keep them solid, and again, another team that has postseason issues, but I think during the regular season, they'll be great. I have Omaha at four. I mean, I know they lose a fair amount from last year, but I mean, they had a lot of freshmen. I mean, double digit freshmen playing last year. And, you know, I think another year under Blaze, they bring the Faulkner, the kid in net back. And he was, I mean, I know against the Gophers, you know, obviously the Gophers made a lot of goalies look pretty good, but, you know, I just kind of like what they have going down there. I have the Gophers fifth, again, same as last year. And, you know, again, they could bump up or down a little bit, based on a few things. But like Hammy said, I mean, they lose their top, three scorers from last year with Barabal, Cepas, and Hofel. But I think as a whole, the forward group, some of the younger guys can replace their production. I don't want to say easily, but, I mean, I think you could have Bukestad with, 40-plus points. And, again, it's not like they're, trying to replace, Brian Bonin up front, right now. And then kind of to round out the top half, I had Duluth. Obviously they lose a lot, but bring some good guys back. But I think the Justin Falk thing from the back end, I mean, you look at how good that kid was the second half of the year and in the postseason. And, we talk about that electric blue liner and, that kid was just on a tear. And I just don't see, that team being able – I mean, I think they were fourth place in the WCHA and obviously went on the run in the postseason. Yep. So, that offense from the blue line, he ignited so much for that team. And I just don't see them having anyone to replace him. So I have them at six to kind of round out my top half.
Let's keep it going, Hammy. I keep forgetting. I keep forgetting we got 12 teams. That's why I stopped.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have UNO at six. I think for me, the big reason why I put them there is, well, first of all, they lost their top three scorers, and Olam was definitely their best defenseman. He's gone. Yes, they do have some young talent, and of course, you can never count on a Blaze team. Usually, they're hardworking, and they'll usually be pretty successful. But I think it's kind of pick your poison with the standings this year. You can kind of nitpick everybody to a certain degree and say, make an argument for they could be higher, they could be lower. I think that their goalie, I know he was third team, I think WCHA last year. The question I have is the consistency. I know he had like six shutouts, but then I also noticed that he had a number of pretty bad games. So, is the goalie consistency going to be there? That's a tough one. I really don't know. We'll have to see how that goes. I have Wisconsin at seven. I'm sure our Badger friends will love to hear that. I just think that they've lost a lot, losing a guy like Gardner and I think that their defensive group is not nearly what it was a few years ago. We'll see how solid they are. They have got questions in net. They don't really have a guy that they can say is an experienced go-to guy in that regard. And, they might have some offense up front, but I just question, where they're going to finish as far as defensively. And there's just some question marks there. St. Cloud is my eighth team. They're kind of a wild card in a sense that it seems like the years that I picked them to be high, they underachieve. The years that I picked them to be low, they tend to overachieve a little bit. It's kind of going against the grain. So for all I know, they're going to end up in the top four. It's hard to say. They have some talent there. Defensively, I think they'll be a little bit better. And I think that, they have some good cogs. They've lost, guys like Rowe and so you kind of wonder how that's going to be picked up. But they got some real good talented guys. They have LeBlanc and they have Hanowski and some of those guys that will be, probably improve and have a successful year. So I think that they'll be at eight and they could be higher. So we'll have to see. Mankato I've got at nine. I'm just going to round it out because I didn't take a great deal of notes with these last few teams. I got Bemidji at 10. I've got Alaska Anchorage at 11 and Tech at its customary 12 spot.
Oh, poor Tech. Last place again.
Well, we'll see how the coaching change helps them, but I don't think it's going to happen this year.
Ryan?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Hammy on St. Cloud. I mean, it's a team where, when there's expectations, they usually cave. And if they're kind of under the radar, they can maybe be a little bit frisky. But, with Mike Lee and Nat, they should be pretty solid there. And with, Jansen and Gravel, a couple, young guys on the blue line that were pretty good last year. And, they've got enough returning guys up front where I think they could make some noise. But, again, that's a tough team to peg. Wisconsin, eight. Again, they lose, the Craig Smith thing and Jordy Murray, to go along with Gardner. I mean, that team's had a boatload of talent the last couple of years. And, it's kind of the chickens are coming home to roost this year with those guys, a lot of guys leaving early. And I just don't know how, that blue line is going to perform, especially with, probably, a freshman goalie trying to lead the way for them. That's just, an Eves team like that. I mean, I know they'll probably drop back and do their shell thing, but I just don't see this being their year. And then after that, again, kind of similar to Hammy, Anchorage at nine, they'll probably have some older guys and whatever. They'll be all right. Bemidji at 10, Tech at 11, and Mankato at 12. But I think those bottom four, you could kind of put them in a hat and see how it pans out.
Ouch, Mankato at 12.
Yeah, I'm growing to resent that fans. My training camp stays there, so I'm just doing that out of spite more than anything.
Didn't they sweep us last year?
Try to block out bad memories like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. Pretty much everyone swept the Gophers last year.
I don't remember all of last year.
You're blocking it out. That's a good idea. Can you block out the last 4 years? That would be great. So what about your Player of the Year and Rookie of the Year predictions? What do you guys think of that, about that?
I'll take the chalk on that and go with, I know Hammy alluded to it earlier, Jaden Schwartz at CC. I mean, it'll probably be between him and Zucker. I mean, that's an award that usually goes to a forward, and unless there's a big-time goalie, I guess Dell, if North Dakota's D is, you know, they pack it in. But Schwartz, I mean, his point per game was ridiculous. CC's probably going to be better this year than they were last year. So just based on, you know, the amount of chances and scoring opportunities that he's going to have, I see no reason why he shouldn't blow up again. And up front, I'll go with Grimaldi for North Dakota. I know he's going to be the fashionable pick. But again, kind of to build on what I said earlier, I mean, they don't have a lot of returning guys up front. So he's going to be put, you know, probably a top power play guy, definitely a top six forward. And, you know, if he plays with a Brock Nelson, or, you know, he's going to be with some talented guys, and there's just going to be a lot of opportunity for him there, where maybe in Minnesota, I mean, you can laugh about what they have coming back, but like a Kyle Rau, I mean, he may not have the same type chances. So may not be the best freshman in the league on the ice, but I think point-wise and, you know, opportunity-wise, he's going to have the best chance to take home that honor.
Yeah, Ryan pretty much, you know, stole my thoughts on that one. I mean, Schwartz to me is, you know, he's my pick for Player of the Year. He's the most talented guy, I think. I mean, Zucker, you could say, you know, he had a great year as well last year, so you could make those kinds of arguments, but I just think he's the best overall package in the league. I also agree with Grimaldi. I think he's the most dynamic freshman, and he, like Cardinal said, you know, he's going to have his opportunities because they're going to need somebody to step into some of those roles that a lot of the talented forwards they had last year, you know, emptied. So I really believe that he'll probably have a very good year. I don't know, you know, there's some other guys you could throw into the discussion, but I just think that from a teammate standpoint and the, how much they're going to rely on him, I just think that he's, you know, the clear-cut pick for that one. What about you, Jupe? You got any thoughts on that one?
I like Schwartz. I like Schwartz from CC. I'll just go with Raul just for the fun of it. I like the way – I like that kid. You know, you and I had discussed before about the kid was beat up at the state tournament. They just beat the heck out of him, slammed him into boards. He got back up. He was always on the puck, playmaker, putting the puck away. They couldn't keep him down.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think, you know, it's funny because you think of all the guys who struggled going from high school to college and – you know, and usually a lot of times it's those undersized guys that you kind of wonder about if they can handle that kind of strength and speed step up or two. And but he's one of those guys that just seem to have that kind of nose for the, you know, they just know how to play the game. And he's, even though he's small, he's one of those guys will take a, you know, a beating and keep going. He has that kind of grittiness to him. And, you know, whether I don't know what, you know, he's going to be doing for power play time and all that other kind of good stuff. But I would imagine he's going to be playing a pretty significant offensive role on the team. And if he gets that opportunity, you never know what could happen. But I just think that Grimaldi's too much of a, you know, he's too talented and too dynamic to kind of say that he's not going to be the pick for Rookie of the Year this year.
So you guys have the Gophers fourth and fifth. Will they make the final five? Come on.
So I'm saying,
okay, that's just the hesitation right there pretty much says it all, that these last few years have been pretty bad. That
no, I was hesitating because I didn't know if Cardinal was going to say something first.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, last year, you know, you get swept at home by Alaska Anchorage to have your season end. I mean, that's going to make you pause a little bit, but again, I'll go back to kind of what I said at the start. I mean, one of these years, it's not going to be this way forever, right? So, like, one of these years, it's going to have to change. you know, I'm hoping that between Gensel and, you know, having, like Hammy said, a, you know, a good group of forwards that, you know, should have some spark from guys like Rao and, you know, hope maybe Boyd, Isaacson, some younger guys to inject a little bit of life, some older guys like Larson and Hansen who, you know, have gotten a little bit better each year and should be productive. You know, I'll say they make the final five because if they don't make that, it's pretty rare if a team, you know, doesn't make the final five and ends up in the NCAA tournament. So if I think they're going to make the NCAA tournament, I got to pick them to make the final five.
Yeah, I agree. I think they'll make the final five, and I do believe they'll make the NCAAs this year. You know, of course, when you're talking,
they'll have another home game if they make it to the NCAA again.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll be the one that gets hot at the right time this year and surprise some people. But I'm not, you know, I'm trying to be, you know, like you talked about the last few years, sort of make you temper your expectations. And I think they'll definitely be a much improved team in many regards this year. And I do believe that they'll be at the Final Five, and I do believe they'll make the NCAAs. But it's hard to be overly confident about that based on the last few years. So we'll go with that.
I'm still bitter with Holy Cross. I don't think, you know, should they had a couple of good teams since then, but I think that was kind of the beginning of this feeling a lack of confidence. I'll tell you that.
At least you weren't there for that.
I was going to go. I was actually going to go the second game. Oh, that's right. They didn't win to make it to the second game.
Yeah.
I had plans. I was going to drive up that whatever the second day was, but that never happened. I remember sitting on my couch for about an hour staring
at
the screen.
The good thing about that weekend was the next day watching another GPL esteemed member Fire Helmet guy tiger stripe the bathroom in North Dakota after a little too much drinking. So if nothing else, you kind of look at the positives. And,
I didn't that was need the, that. Yeah, didn't that need
was a
really
good member for a few different reasons.
Well, the question I have about that is, did he get any action that weekend?
Oh, no, stop. I don't want to know that. Ooh.
Well, you know, he's got that reputation of striking out, so.
There's a lot of truth to that. In closing, do you guys have anything else you want to talk about? Or?
Well, the only thing I have, you know, I have to say is, you know, this is going to be an interesting experience doing these podcasts for GPL. I think that hopefully we'll be able to provide some weekly entertainment for everybody. And, you know, certainly as time goes along, we'll be much improved at our spiels. And I also, you know, hope that everybody that uses GPL or even the fans from some other sites, if they choose to listen to this, will send us some feedback, you know, questions, whatever it might be. I know Jupe was going to set up some email address for that.
Actually, we do. We've got an email address. You know, if people want to send us questions, we can answer questions during a podcast or just feedback. They can drop us a line at podcast@gopherpucklive.com. So if they go ahead and send us those questions, and we'll try to get them answered. podcast@gopherpucklive.com.
I think goal is to make sure that this podcast gets its own weekly thread on Sioux Sports, and I feel confident in that happening on a pretty regular basis. So to all the Sioux Sports folks out there who, you know, they never come to GPL, but yet they know everything Gopher. So that's my, nothing else comes of this podcast. That's my hope.
Well, I think that may happen. This has obviously been. We've been here for an hour talking. I don't anticipate our weekly bits being this long since this was our first podcast, but we'll keep plugging it along from here, and we'll see how it goes. I'm looking forward to this. You know, I think hopefully the fans will like what we're giving to them, and hopefully they like what you guys have to say. And, you know, we'll come back after Sacred Heart and either rip the team or start praising them like Glenn Sonmore would. Can't do no wrong.
Well, I know this much. I look forward to offending as many opposing fans as possible.
Amen.
Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for this GPL podcast. We'll have another one for you again, you know, after the Sacred Heart game. I'd like to thank my hosts, Hammy and Cardinal, for their contributions. And like I said, you can drop us a line at podcast@gopherpucklive.com, and we'll try to get those questions on the air. Hope to hear from you soon. Thanks for listening.